The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's March, which means it's time for yet another gritty bisexual bodybuilder tumbles into a life of crime with the lesbian gym owner she just met movie. I mean, how many of these are we going to get? Hello, everybody. I'm Dan Merle, and this is my review of Love Lies Bleeding, the latest release from A24, which was in limited release last weekend, but is hitting many markets nationwide this weekend. Love Lies Bleeding is directed by Rose Glass. Her first film was called Saint Maud, which was getting some of that big pre-release buzz, but got kind of swallowed up by the pandemic. Glass co-wrote the script with Weronika Tefilska, and it stars Kristen Stewart as Lou, a prickly gym owner with a dark past. When a new bodybuilder named Jackie, played by Katie O'Brien, comes to town, they find themselves uncontrollably drawn to each other, but their involvement grows more and more complicated as Lou's family situation and the secrets of her past push both of them deeper and deeper into a growing pool of darkness. Ed Harris plays Lou Sr., a gun runner and eccentric bug collector who casts a shadow over his estranged daughter. Jenna Malone plays Lou's sister Beth, a victim of domestic violence who not only can't, but won't break the cycle. And Dave Franco plays JJ, Beth's abusive husband and an all-around 80s dirtbag with a spectacularly terrible mullet. But the real standout supporting performance for me was Anna Baryshnikov's role as Daisy, a strung-out local with a crush on Lou who uses what she learns in the movie through a chance encounter as leverage to get what she wants. There's a particular type of crazy that exists in this world. It's the kind of crazy that's just behind the eyes, but you can't really see it. Maybe they seem a little bit eccentric or a little bit quote unquote off, but sometimes you really see what's going on back there and it scares you a little bit. That's the kind of character that Anna Baryshnikov pulls off in this movie, and she's so good in it, even though it's not a huge role. Her biggest roles as an actor so far have been in Manchester by the Sea and Apple TV Plus's Dickinson. I saw Manchester by the Sea, but it was a long time ago. I didn't see Dickinson, but this actress, Anna Baryshnikov, is one that I will be keeping my eye out for in the future. The movie largely lies, though, in the hands of Kristen Stewart and Katie O'Brien, and this is yet another film for Kristen Stewart that she obviously did for the part and not for the money. I actually went back and looked, and according to my research, even though she's been in some bigger films, Kristen Stewart actually hasn't been in a movie with a budget over $100 million since the final Twilight film back in 2012, Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2. It seems like ever since that finale, she's used that Bella Swan money to do movies that she wants to do. It's a career of choice, not necessity. She basically bankrolled her future on these big movies that she was known for in the early days and a few more. And yeah, she took some lumps, and a lot of people made fun of her, and a lot of people made fun of those movies. But I think that all of that is outweighed by the really interesting movies that she has decided to do post-Twilight. They're maybe not always masterpieces, but they always have something special about them, and I think that she's always good in them. It's a similar track to what Robert Pattinson has done, also launching out of Twilight, but even he has taken on some of the more high-profile roles, like, of course, Batman and others, that Kristen Stewart hasn't. Lou is a role that perhaps leans a bit more on some of those Kristen Stewart-isms that we know. She's broody and standoffish. She often rebuffs the help of those around her. But Stewart's doing some great work here, especially as the vice tightens and her options for escaping her situation begin to dwindle. There's a key moment in this film where she's asked a question, and she takes a long pause before answering, and you can see her entire life play on her face. All of her life choices, all of her options, everything that's brought her to this point, the stuff that we've seen in this movie and the stuff that we haven't, is all visible as she thinks about what the answer to that question is going to be. That is not an easy moment to play, and Kristen Stewart plays it really well. It's the kind of thing that maybe a lot of people wouldn't even appreciate, but I thought that it was a fantastic moment of acting caught on film. Katie O'Brien's career has been heating up lately. Her last two projects were as Gintora, the fierce freedom fighter against Kang in Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania, and Elliot Kane, an officer fiercely loyal to Moff Gideon in The Mandalorian. I think this movie should propel her career beyond even those big genre projects, which are nice, but this is on sort of a different level. O'Brien drew on her real experience with bodybuilding to transform for this role, but this isn't just an outward performance. Jackie, the character, has a soul and a life behind the muscles, and that's what makes her interesting. Jackie is a character who at first seems pretty simple, but as the movie goes on, you add layers of complexity to her. When we first meet her, she's pretty much unified in this one vision. She wants to go and win this bodybuilding competition, and she's going to do whatever she can do to get there and do that. But her pursuit of that goal unlocks things inside of her that are scary and confusing to her, most of all, but that she's unable to control. And the question really becomes, does all the chaos in this movie and all of these events and the substances and everything else that we see her ingest in the film, is that what causes her to do what she does? Or were these things inside of her all along and were only unlocked by the situations that we see in the movie? One of the things I like about Love Lies Bleeding is it asks those questions, but it's not here to give you the obvious answer. There's a lot of things that you can take from and interpret your own way, but by the end of the movie, it's not like you get that one thing you've been looking for. You start questioning as a viewer whether you've even been asking the right questions or whether you've been asking those questions of the right characters. It's a very, very complex portrait of these characters inside what some may say is a fairly simple crime story. The on-screen chemistry between O'Brien and Stewart is palpable, and Love Lies Bleeding really is able to capture something that very few movies are actually able to capture, because it's something that many people aren't comfortable with or shy away from, and that's lust. I'm not talking about love or even sex. I'm talking about that animalistic lust, the kind that drives people to throw caution to the wind, to take focus off everything else in their life, and to just indulge in pure recklessness. This is not a movie about sex and nudity, though it has both of those things. It's about what happens after you've thrown yourself into this thing, and then you start asking questions like, who is this person, and what do they want, and what have I gotten myself into? The lustful side of human nature is severely restricted by ratings boards, and is viewed by many, especially in mainstream films, as unnecessary and pornographic, and I think that that line can be crossed, but I also think this is a great counterpoint to a lot of movie romances, which start out with the meet cute, and then you have the tender act two love scene. It's a very rom-com thing, and sure, that probably reflects a lot of people's actual relationships, but this movie sort of reflects what happens when two people meet each other and just want to and figure it all out later. Jackie's bodybuilding is a key aspect of the movie, and Love Lies Bleeding premiered at this year's Sundance Film Festival. There was another movie about bodybuilding called Magazine Dreams that premiered at last year's Sundance Festival, starring Jonathan Majors, which was set up for a prime award season run, but was then pulled from release and may now never see the light of day due to Jonathan Majors' ongoing legal problems. Now, the real-life ramifications behind that case are far more important and far-reaching than anything having to do with movies and entertainment. But I am glad for this movie, for Love Lies Bleeding, that it is not coming out in the shadow of Magazine Dreams, because it shares just enough DNA in the tone and the basic story, the fact that bodybuilding is a big part of both, that I could have seen this movie written off, especially if it was a major awards contender, as the other bodybuilding movie. And it deserves more than that. This movie deserves to stand on its own two feet, and I think that it does. Maybe it would have, even if Magazine Dreams had come out, but I do think it would have been overshadowed a bit. I found Love Lies Bleeding to be well acted, often surprising, equally erotic and brutal, and tense throughout. This is an A24 release, which means that you're going to get some doses of weirdness, and there are a couple of times, particularly in one key moment, where it may go too far and take audiences out of the movie. It does make some very, I'll say, interesting creative choices, but I think it's reeled in by the actors, by the characters they inhabit, and by some of the thematic and metaphorical things that they're setting up. I actually had to think about it, and once I sort of thought about some of the stuff that happens in the movie, I thought, okay, you know, I think I get where they're going with this, and it's only because you think on other places where maybe they set that up earlier. So it's not a slam dunk, but I think it's definitely worth your time, and on my personal scale, Love Lies Bleeding lands solidly in the it's good category, although I will put a bit of a view viewer advisory on this, sort of like I did with Poor Things, in that it does have some sex and nudity. If there's people that you might want to watch this with that it would be uncomfortable to watch with, then maybe don't watch it with those people. And there is also some pretty gnarly violence. That's not a bad thing. I'm not holding it against the movie, but probably a good thing to know. So those are my thoughts on Love Lies Bleeding. What do you think? Are you going to be heading out to see it this weekend? Let me know down in the comments below. And as always, thank you so much for watching the channel. I've got an episode of Streaming Charts with Dan that I'm cooking up for this weekend. And of course, more movie news reviews, box office, and everything else coming up in the days, weeks, months, who knows, years to come. We'll see what happens. Thanks so much for spending part of your day here with me. Until next time, stay safe, and I'll see you then. Bye.